Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Maria. Thanks, To. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you again. I think it was October. I think I was here last October. So, just on the back end of National Conference last year. And how many of you came to National Conference last year? It was an amazing time. Just a real sense of encouragement from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. I do want to invite you again. This year's National Conference, it's going to be based in Sydney. We won't be touring around Australia like last year. We'd do that every other year. But this year it'll be based in Sydney. And there's some flyers at the back there. Make sure you grab them on your way out. But we're doing the conference on two weekends in a row, basically. So depending on your availability and when would work for you, you can either go to Conference A or Conference B. It's the same conference, same speakers. We have Putty Putman coming again from the United States, which is wonderful. Putty is just a great guy. And he shared with you all here. Last time he was here, it was great, great morning. And we've got John and Eleanor and Mumford coming in from Vineyard in the UK. And they're looking forward to coming and being with us. And then Nicole and I will be there as well. There's a bunch of other local Aussie people bringing their content. So again, we want to encourage as many of you as possible. Get online now, register, find the Airbnb nearest to the location, hook your caravan on, find the caravan park nearest, and come on up and make a real celebration of the kingdom. Come and join in with your wider Vineyard family for that morning, for those conferences. Also, just up the back, there's a whole bunch of these little prayer cards. I give these out to our people like every quarter because they keep losing them in our place. But anyway, these are just the little five-step healing model cards. We shove them in Bibles. We just put them in front of people so that it's just a helpful little tips and tools on how to partner with the person of the Holy Spirit and ministering in the power and the message and the ministry of Jesus. And so, great little step chart, just helps you through it. And then on the back of it, there's just, again, a little tips on the ministry of the Holy Spirit with regards to words of knowledge. How do they happen? How do you connect with them, listening to God, and then partnering with God in that? Really great little tip sheets, you know? There used to be a singer, you know, last night we had a great pizza delivered by this really amazing young man. There used to be this ad campaign on TV. I forget who it was. It was one of the pizza companies. And anyway, this young pizza guy comes to the front door and he's looking for a tip. You know, he's delivered the pizza, but he's looking for a tip. He's, you know, kind of looking for some money. You might remember the ad campaign, and whoever it was that answered the door said, "Here's a tip, be good to your mother," and closed the door. But, you know, well, anyway, these are tips, all right? These are some tips of ministry. So grab some of those on your way out the door this morning, all righties? Hey, this morning I want to share a few thoughts, but, before I get into this, Nicole sends her love. And she's praying for you all this morning. And for those of you who have been praying for Nick, she's really grateful for your prayers. And for those of you who are unaware, Nicole, 2.5 weeks ago, had some surgery on her lower spine. And so she's just in recovery mode at the moment. The pain that led to the surgery has now been all fixed and gone, which is wonderful news. And now it's just the recovery from the surgery itself that she's just recovering from. So please continue to pray for her, and please continue to pray for us as we try and, in the Delaney household, try and figure out how to do everything that Nicole normally does to keep the place running. She's amazing. So appreciate your prayers. This morning I want to just take a little bit of time to speak about and then pray about with you guys a season of fruitfulness that we see the Lord speaking and releasing across the Vineyard churches here in Australia. I just came from Western Australia yesterday, and the Holy Spirit's moving very generously among the folk there, and not only moving among the folk, but there's a broadening sense of relationships. There's a whole bunch of churches that are now got people around them from other churches that are wanting to experience something of the renewing work of the Holy Spirit that our Vineyard tribe are experiencing in the West. And it's lovely to be a blessing, isn't it, to the wider body of Jesus. And then at the same time, there's these other young people, or maybe, anyway, they're younger folk than me. And they're starting to hear these callings to want to plant churches, to want to extend the kingdom, to want to partner with God. And so there's this real sense of growing momentum in the West. So if I could encourage you, pray for those guys. Pray for our Vineyard tribe in the West. It's quite incredible to see what God's doing over there. And it's really just been accelerated since October last year when we did our national conferences. And there was this word from the Lord about fruitfulness that was being spoken over our movement of churches. If you're not part of the Vineyard, this is not a word that is exclusively our property either. If you're from other parts of the body of Jesus, hey, just posture your heart towards as much of this as you want and take it with you as you go. So, you're right back there, mate. So I just want to encourage you this morning, while I am speaking about something that's peculiar to us as a Vineyard movement of churches, it's not exclusive to us, okay? So come and take as much of this as you want, okay? I want to start this morning by just talking a little bit about seasons. The good thing about seasons are they come and they go. In Queensland, one of the things that we do every summer is we bellyache for the whole summer about how it's too hot and we can't wait for the summer to end. But then as soon as summer ends and it starts to get cool, we start whinging about how cold it is and we wish summer was here again. I don't know what it's like here, if you guys have similar, but maybe different seasonal attitudes you might have here. But the good thing about seasons are they come and they go. They start and they finish. And it's the same with the seasons of journey with God. God moves us through seasons. And even as local churches, God has seasons for us. In this season, in our local church that Nicole and I pastor in Brisbane, in Pine Rivers, we're definitely moving into a new season. We're not where we were 12 months ago. Where we were 12 months ago, it felt like we'd been in this long winter. And it was like we'd pray and it felt like the heavens were brazen, you know. It was like, you're hearing our heart, Father? Where are you, Lord? How long, O Lord? They were our kind of prayers, you know. It was like, we ache to see you like you once moved, O God. You know, we were in that kind of a season. And yet, in the midst of that season, there was lessons for us to learn about just faithfulness and longevity and willingness to just continue to partner with God in his last set of instructions to us as a people. But somehow, in the goodness of God, his Holy Spirit, he's decided it's time for that season to finish and the lessons learned and move us into a new season. And it's not like we've changed our practices at all. It's not like we've changed our clothing. It's not like we've had some great, I don't know, revelation, other than we've noticed that the season has changed. And now our posture and our leaning is very different to where we were 12 months ago. For example, you know, I was just sharing last night, our youth group on a Friday night meets on a Friday night, and 10 of the kids invited another 20 kids to come along, and there's 30 of them there, and they asked me to come and share for a few minutes, and so I did a five-minute share. And at the end of it, I asked, any of you young people want to give your life to Jesus? And these three young, courageous kids put their hands up. I'd never seen them before. I don't know who they were. But anyway, they put their hands up. And I said, well, why don't you come over here with me if you want to give your life to Jesus? And so these three kids stood up, and then another 15 stood up with them and came down the front. And so 18 kids just gave their life to Jesus like that. And I'm just like, well, hang on a minute. What's going on here? So we just prayed. We invited, you know, they we led them all to Christ. They all had these wonderful encounters with Jesus. And then we asked that the Holy Spirit would come and fill them all. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled them all. And some were crying, some were laughing, some were laid out on the floor, some were just like, what is going on? And everything in between. And it was a wonderful mess of the love of God just invading. And we're like, what happened? How there's change in the air. It's like it's no longer the brazen sort of hardness in the atmosphere. It just felt like something's opened. You know, we had half a dozen people in January, get baptized and make a public declaration of their love for Jesus and what's going on in here. They want to live out here. And so they got baptized in front of the fellowship that morning. And then, in the midst of it all, I just said, you know, I think there's some people standing here watching what's going on, and you want in on what's going on. Put your hand up if you want in. Well, these two ladies, I'd never seen them before. They were standing up the back of the church having a coffee, and they put their hand up, and I said, well, why don't you come on down here? And so they came down here. I said, why are you here? And they said, we want what they've testified about. We want what they've got. We want that life. And I said, well, do you want to receive Jesus? And they said, yes, we do. And I said, well, just close your eyes and we'll pray together now. And they just made a really simple confession of Christ. And then I said, well, go and get in the tank. We have a big rainwater tank in our church. That's our baptismal. With it, you know, the old school pool ladder. You've got to climb up over the ladder and into the thing. And it's wonderful. And so one of the guys stands over it with a video, with his phone, and projects back up through the screen so everyone can see and stuff. But this is two beautiful lives. They came to Christ watching what the people of Jesus were doing, as that we were just faithfully going on about loving God and inviting people into the relationship with Him and the work of His kingdom. They came to Christ. They're now doing us. They came to us through the mercy ministry that we operate 3 days a week, and they spend a lot of time with our mercy team. And then anyway, they're now on team. They're on team. They're serving people. They're loving people. They're praying for people. And at the same time, they're getting their lives cleaned up, and they're sorting out what to do with life with Jesus now, you know. And so the Mercy Center team are doing a new Christian group with them. And, you know, it's like, well, how did that all happen? It's a different season. 12 months ago, it wasn't like that. But now it is like that. And I just want to say, I just really want to say to you this morning, I believe that for the Vineyard movement, we are in a new season. The old has gone. God is posturing and moving us into a new season of fruitfulness. You know, this morning while we were here just doing the setup, and I was just watching the worship crew get ready. And I was just looking at them. I'm going, this is outstanding, God. But when I looked at them, this is what I heard the Lord say to me. I heard Him say, faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. We've got to be in this for the long game. We've got to be in this for the long game. We want to see our cities loved. We want to see our people saved, people of our city saved. We've got to be in this for the long game. And the long game is faithfulness with the Lord. The day-to-day following Jesus, listening to the heart of the Father, doing what we see Him doing, asking for the help of the Holy Spirit, and moving in the authority of the Holy Spirit. But what leads to fruitfulness is faithfulness. And I want to say, there's a lot of faithfulness in this room. I see it. The Father sees it. He's drawing my attention to it. There's faithfulness in this room. There's a lot of it. And there's fruitfulness on the cusp. And I want to invite you in Jesus' name today to lean in to the invitation of what the Holy Spirit's doing in this season. There is fruitfulness for this church to be experienced. There's a lot of people in this town that belong in this church. They're just longing and waiting for someone to invite them. There's a lot of spiritual hunger all around this town. People are just waiting to be invited. In 2017, we had a prayer summit in the January of 2017. Every year, we have a day of prayer, and we invite people from all around Vineyard Australia to come together, and we spend a day of prayer together. And in that prayer summit in 2017, this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit said to us, and we made a note of it. This is January 2017. So this is 2 and a bit years ago. Because you do realize you're in a long story, right? The story happened before you got here this morning. There's been a long story happening that God's doing, you know. And he said this: the vineyard's heading into a season of fulfillment, of flourishing, of growing vigorously, of thriving, and fruitfulness. And that fruitfulness is for the vineyard to bring our unique flavor to the body of Christ and to the world. And then at our leadership conference in May of 2018, so 12 and a bit months later, we had Phil and Jan Strout from the Vineyard in the United States come over and spend some time with us, with our leadership community. And they came and taught all about fruitful longevity. I'm like, okay, I think we're onto something here. I think the Lord's trying to get our attention. And then last year, in October, at our 2018 national conferences around Australia, in comes Putty Putman and from Vineyard over in Urbana. And then in the very first setting, while we were up in Brisbane at the first conference, he says, I think I've got something from the Lord to say. And I said, well, say it. And here it is, I'll quote it to you. He says, I'm here to tell you that the season of pruning in the vineyard of Australia is over. That season's happened. The Lord's cut away what he needs to cut away, and it's now time for the branches to begin to grow on the vine again. It now is that time, that which remains to bear fruit, that it would continue, that it would bear strong fruit, not temporary fruit, strong fruit. And I feel the Father's drawing close again, and I got a sense of intimacy. And that intimacy will draw out the fruit. I declare right now a season of intimacy and fruitfulness in the Australian vineyard. And along with that is going to come a flow of power, a flow of power. The Holy Spirit's been trying to get our attention now for 2.5 years. Isn't God kind? He gives us a lot of lead time. Because he knows how, you know, we don't like change, do we? We like comfort, we like predictability, and we like it nice and easy. But the Lord's been letting us know for quite a while now that he's wanting to bring new fruit onto the vine for us as a people. And we're beginning to see it. We have seen the Lord speak to us, and we have seen the Lord begin to minister in power to his people. I wanted this morning just quickly touch on this whole idea of fruitfulness. But before we get there, there's a vineyard pastor called Alan Scott. He's based in, he and his wife Catherine, they pastor the vineyard in Anaheim, California. And before that, they were the pastors of the Causeway Coast Vineyard in Northern Ireland. But anyway, Alan makes this comment. He says, it's time to unlock kingdom identity, kingdom authority, and kingdom ministry. It's time to unleash the power of everyone, everywhere, every day, so that the church begins to fill every city, every industry, and every family with the beauty and the story of Christ. That is such a powerful invitational statement right there. Now, he's speaking that not just out of longing, he's speaking that out of fulfillment as well. He and Catherine and their church in Northern Ireland, this is the fruit of their walking out a journey with Jesus, and they literally have seen not just thousands of people come to Christ in Northern Ireland, but they have seen the culture of their city transformed by the love of God. They have seen industries change, small businesses change, school communities change, families change, and these guys are living Jesus everywhere, every day, through everyone. And it's just incredible. A whole city has been turned around by the love of God. And I mean, I look at that and I listen to that. We went and visited that. And we're just like, I want that. I want more of that. And I think you guys do too. This is what the Holy Spirit's inviting us to lean into, this idea of fruitfulness. A couple of quick things I want to make some points on this morning with regards to the nature of fruitfulness. There's four little things I want to mention that I think are on the move right now that we're experiencing, that we're seeing, and that we think God's inviting people into more and more. And it's these four things: intimacy with the Father, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, living in these threshold moments and learning to recognize threshold moments, what they're like, and also living with a compelling Jesus, in terms of our daily life. Have you got your Bible? Quickly open it up. We're going to have a quick read of Colossians. There's a great, great bit of scripture here. Written by Paul. Colossians is a town. He's writing to a town that used to be the center of town, but is no longer the center of town because the economy has moved, and it's kind of like a town that has had a glory day, but now it's kind of living in the dust of everything, and everyone seems to have moved on. And yet there's these people of Jesus still there, and Paul and the Holy Spirit and God sees this as this amazing, fertile context for the kingdom to flourish, really flourish. So Paul writes to them, and I want us to pick up in verse 3. I'm going to read a big chunk here, verse 3 onwards. Oh, sorry, chapter 1. So Paul's writing here. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people. The faith and the love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world." Just pause there for a second. Can I just encourage you, where you are struggling to see fruit in your own life and context, ask for the Lord to help you celebrate it where it's happening somewhere else. Where you see fruit in someone's life, ask the Lord to help you celebrate that. Ask the Lord to help you celebrate what you see him doing overseas, in another city, in another context, in another culture, where the kingdom is coming. Ask the Lord to help you to do that, because in doing that, you too come alive and realize you're in something really grand, really big, and you're a part of a move of God, even when you don't feel like you are. You are. And the enemy always wants to isolate, but the Lord always wants to include. Okay? Unpause. Alrighty. "Just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing good fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Isn't that good? "Giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin." Isn't that a great thing to walk in that? Now, here comes the high piece of this introduction. Here's the high piece. Paul can't think of enough words here to describe Jesus. So on he goes. He says, "The Son, i.e. Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and he's in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he would have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwelling in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope that's held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard, that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Isn't Paul's vision for life so compelling? He's like, that's what I'm going to serve. That's who I'm going to serve. This compelling reality of God in the person of his son, Jesus. Fantastic stuff. Alrighty, let me just share with you a few quick points here. Firstly, these are some of the things that the Lord's inviting people to all around the Vineyard movement here in Australia. Greater intimacy with the Father. There's a great book that I'm recommending everywhere I go at the moment. It's a book called Soul Keeping by John Ortberg. And in it, Ortberg has these little conversations with another guy called Dallas Willard. And anyway, in the midst of their talking, there's this one little vignette, little story. And in this story, Ortberg tells of how he and Willard were doing this conference together, and they were speaking to this group of next generation young people, but sort of from aged between 18 to 30 years of age. And there was about 5,000 of them there, and church planters and musicians and creatives and all of just the energy that they bring into a room. And as a conference full of them, and Willard at this stage, he's an elderly gentleman. Ortberg knows, it's like Dallas thought it was such an important occasion. It was like Ortberg noticed that Willard even wore a tie for the occasion, you know. And he's from sort of a little small town America, and now he's in this big conference setting with all these young adults. And the context of the conference was that Ortberg was interviewing Willard in front of all these young people. And along the way, Ortberg was a bit worried how the interview was actually going. He's like, I don't think this is actually going so great. And he's asking lots of questions. And then all of a sudden, he asks Dallas in this interview some questions. And then Willard makes this comment. He says, what matters most in this life is not the accomplishments that you achieve. What matters most is the person who you become. So he just kind of drops that statement into this conference room. And Ortberg was like, he wasn't sure how that landed. Well, anyway, on goes the interview. Dallas is a very understated man. Not much charisma, no big stories, but pearls of wisdom. And he just kind of drops them in. And at the end of the interview, Ortberg notices this amazing thing that happens. At the end of the interview, all of 5,000 of these young adults, they stand up and they give this incredible applause and clap to Willard. And it just goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And Ortberg was at a loss to try and figure out what is happening in this moment. And then he realized, he said, the soul searches for a father in every generation. He realized that what was happening was this whole generation, this sea of young adults, a longing for the wisdom of a father to please give us some tools on how to do life. for all the, you know, the energy that young adults could bring, for all of the amazing technology and creative arts and all of that stuff, there is deep in the soul, and it's not just of young people, it's of every generation, for a father, someone to speak to them, someone to give them tools. Psalm 82 says this, "My soul yearns for the living God." My soul yearns. One of the great joys of coming into the kingdom and in a relationship with Jesus is we now get to be in relationship with Jesus' Father. We now get to be in a relationship with Jesus' Father. And the Father's moving close to the vineyard in Australia right now. And there's a greater yearning to know the heart, the wisdom, the love, and the preference of the Father's love over the life of all of the people, of all of us. There's an increasing nature and hunger for this that we're seeing all around Australia. It's his affirming presence. And Paul makes that statement in Colossians 1:12 there. He says, it's the Father who's qualified you to share in this wonderful inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of the light. It's the Father's pleasure to share with us. It's the Father's qualifying love. So many contexts that we do life in our, particularly in work and education and vocational spaces, our qualification is based on our performance. That's the context in which we live. And unfortunately, a lot of the church behaves like that too. But the point is that Paul's saying it's the other way around, people. It's the qualifying love of God the Father that actually then gives you life to be able to do life. Don't have to perform to get God to notice you. It's actually the sending of his son Jesus and his life, death, resurrection and ascension that God's saying, I got my eyes on you and I'm qualifying you to join in with what I'm doing in going everywhere in every situation, every day, with my love. And I'm inviting you to join me. Oh man, when that gets deep into the marrow of our soul, the performance ends and the life begins. The joy of walking with God begins. The Father's making himself known. Nothing to earn. It's all grace. It's all grace. And he's inviting a lot of us to learn to live from that place. We no longer live for the approval of God. We've got it. We're his kids. We live from the approval of God. Big difference how we do life. Very big difference. Okay, next one. Being spirit-filled. Recently, it was back in April, actually. I was due to fly to Western Australia and to spend about a week in Western Australia with a whole bunch of the fellowships over there, the churches over there, and tearing around the place. And before I got on the plane, Nicole was driving me to the airport, and I was really tired. I was like, I'm really tired, Nick. And so she just, like, in her really loving way, because I'm in the passenger seat, she just driving, just about to pull up, she puts her left hand out and puts it on my chest, and she says, Holy Spirit, fill him. And then she takes her hand off my chest and she says, all right, go and have fun. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Nick. That was great. So anyway, I bundle out of the car and onto the plane and over I go. And I had this incredibly busy schedule while I was over there. And I was at this one meeting with this group of people way out in sort of the, it would be east, of, out in the east, in the southern part of Western Australia. That's very confusing, I know. But anyway, it was way out somewhere. It took me a long time to get there. But we have a church out there in a little town called Woodnilling. It's a church of, it's a town of 300 people and a church of 15 people that we have out there that love Jesus and just they serve their community beautifully. And so I went out there to be with them and but I was due to have lunch with them and then I was due to be at an evening meeting about 2 hours away. So I had to drive from there to there. So I'm having lunch with them and it's a beautiful time. We're just sitting around the table together talking about Jesus stuff. And then And then I'm like, oh, I'm pressing the clock here. I've really got to hit the road and get to this next meeting, which was another, it was like a worship event that that I'd been invited to go to. And so I said to the guys, I said, look, I've got to go now. This has been really wonderful. I'd love to spend more time with you if I could, but I just need to go. And so as we all stood up from the dinner table, I just turned to the first person to my right and gave him a hug. And when I gave him a hug, it was like the Holy Spirit just said, Kirk, just let him know this. And so I just said, oh, look, you know, I feel like the Father wants you to know. And then all of a sudden there was this prophetic grace on my life from the Holy Spirit. And it was just like, where is this coming from? And why is this not stopping? So anyway, 10 minutes later, the hug ends. And then I look at my watch and I'm going, now I'm going to be really late. So anyway, I go to the next person. I said, it's been great. Shake hands and listen. By the way, God just wants you to know. And so what was meant to be a quick exit ended up being an hour of ministry time in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, where did this come from? Well, the Holy Spirit decided it was time to be just filled, continually being filled. Like Nick said, just be filled. And you don't realize until you're in the moment that the Spirit of God is there, you know, ready to just minister the love of God. And while I'm in my head going, I'm going to be late, I'm going to miss what I'm meant to be at, the Lord had other plans. So anyway, I finish praying, we get around the dinner table, I finish praying, I'm on the road, I send a message to these people, really sorry, going to be late. They're like, don't worry, the party started without you, just come along. And so anyway, I finally get there and I'm in a bit of a rush. About 30 people there, they're meeting in this garage out the back of someone's house. It's this new little kind of kingdom community that's starting. It's a beautiful thing. And with some people that we know and love. And so I join in. I'm there for like two songs and then the person who's up the front on the microphone says, oh, by the way, Kirk, you're up next. And I'm like, I'm up next. What do you mean about this? So anyway, I just said, Lord, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? And then the Holy Spirit just speaks to me. And the Holy Spirit gives me one word. And the word he says to me is Lydia. Lydia, Lydia. Okay, doing my best quick search on everything to do with Lydia. And I'm like, well, anyway, Lydia in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, she's on the banks in Philippi, and she's a small business operator. Well, actually, I shouldn't say small business operator. She's a business owner and operator. She knows how to buy and sell and trade. She's got a whole business. She's got employees. She's an entrepreneur. And she's on the banks of Philippi. That's not her home, but it's on the banks of the Philippi there in Philippi on the river that Paul comes to town and he meets her and a bunch of people, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and there starts this little kingdom community, and there's all this action going on around her life. And then there's originally she's from another town. She's not from Philippi, she's from Thyatira. Now there's nothing, the Bible doesn't explicitly say this, but it's, you could imply it. You could join the dots. And the dots are, there was a church that was planted in Thyatira. My hunch is she went from Philippi and she planted the church in Thyatira. That's my hunch. I think there's a few sort of historical theologians that would back that up as well. But enough to say, this is an amazing woman. I'm like, God, this woman's amazing. So I get up the front and I said, I think God wants to talk about women. Like, it's time to, you know, they're meant to be raised up, authorized, commissioned, no longer living under all sorts of, you know, crazy ideas of male headship and oppression, but actually be who they are in Christ Jesus, filled with the Spirit and doing what God wants them to do. I think God wants to do that. And so sure enough, before we know it, the Holy Spirit is breaking out in this meeting. And there's these women getting delivered from demonic oppression over their lives in tears. There's men repenting for their oppression of their wives, of their friends, and even their worldview of other women. wow, this is awesome. And then these women, they just got filled with the Spirit and they just start like prophesying to each other and then to us men as well. And I was just like, oh my goodness, where did this come from? Well, this came from the Holy Spirit. It came from the heart of the Father. This is what it means to be filled. And that idea of Paul says of being, he says, I pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like the idea is that you would literally be like a cup that's overflowing and brimming over on the edges. And that's when I got on the plane, before I got on the plane, I felt half full. I felt tired. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will get a message in a moment. You'll get a prophecy in the context. You will be overflowing, brimming over. It doesn't matter how physiologically tired or mentally distracted or where you think you need to be, the Spirit of the Lord will be there. If only we would have the heart and the eyes to see. But the power of the Spirit, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after his time in the desert. Paul also talks about how the Spirit will give you great endurance. That's another wonderful gift in working of the Holy Spirit. To keep walking, keep plowing, keep your hand to the task. Keep your heart focused and your eyes on the prize and walking what your last instructions were. Even when it doesn't look like this, it's playing out. The Spirit of the Lord will give you great endurance, great faithfulness, patience. You know, there is another understanding of that word, patience, don't you? It's like long suffering. Oh, yeah, gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, bring it on. You know, it's like, but there's a reality to this, isn't it? There's a reality to this. When God puts vision in our hearts and ideas in our mind and a vision for our life, and it's like, when are we going to get there? And it seems forever out there. We're going to walk that out, Lord. And yet at the same time, with the great endurance and the patience, the other side of the coin is joy and thanksgiving. It's like, how confusing are we? On the one hand, we feel like this is going long, too long, way too long. There's too much hard plowing in this. And yet in the next moment, we can have these moments of great joy and love for the Father and incredible thanksgiving. That's the nature of what we're walking in here. That's the nature of this. Continually brimming over. Alrighty, living in thresholds. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. Threshold. That's a threshold. It's a stepping over. It's moving out from underneath the lordship, the oppression, and the words of a demonic infrastructure that's usurped your life. And then you have been crossed a threshold and you now live in and under another father. You live under a father who speaks words of love and life over you. You live in the relationship with Jesus, the Son of the living God, who has saved you into his kingdom, his authority structure, his kindness, his forgiveness, his hope for the world. You have crossed from here into here. You are living in that reality. It's a threshold. And a couple of months back, one Sunday morning, I was just doing a bit of teaching, and there was these people, I have no idea who they were in the church, and they were sitting up the front, in the front row, which was kind of strange, isn't it? Visitors in the front row. Anyway, they were in the front row, but I could see while I was teaching, this dear woman was, you could see that she was wrestling and becoming uncomfortable with what I was talking about. And to be honest, I can't even tell you what I was talking about. But anyway, as I was talking, you could see she was becoming very uncomfortable. So anyway, we get through the teaching, we get into ministry time, and I just walk over to her and I said, I noticed that you seem like you're a bit uncomfortable with what I was saying. And then she's like, yeah. She's like, I want what you're saying, but everything within me is like going, I hate you for saying it. And I went, oh, really? I said, I think Jesus actually wants to minister to you so that you can have what he's offering you. and you no longer have to live under the thing that's driving that anger and that response to me right now. I said, would you like to get set free from that? She said, yes, please. And so anyway, we just invited the Holy Spirit. We ministered to her. She received Christ. And then we just drove those demons out of her. She came into the kingdom of the Son that she loved, and she came out from under all of the oppressive spiritual words and works of the kingdom of darkness. We live in these thresholds every day of the week, all the time. They're happening all around us. Nick and I, we'd finished a meeting with some people in Newcastle, and it was a busy, it had been a great couple of days. We got on the plane, and when we went to get on the plane, Nicole was seated in row 3A and I was in row 22B or something or other. It was a little Dash 8 aeroplane, so I think there's only like about 60 to 80 seats in them. Two people on each side, an aisle, and it's got the propellers. So they're noisy planes. Anyway, I said to them at check-in, I said, is there any chance I could maybe sit next to my wife? And they said, yeah, sure, we'll work that, Mr. Delaney. And sure enough, she's in 3A and now I'm in 3B. But when I was getting on the plane, I was letting everyone know, without saying anything, I'm off limits. I have my big noise-canceling headsets that I put on. I have my sunglasses on and a hat. I was giving everyone the big heads up, don't talk to me. I'm not available. Anyway, so I go to get on the plane. Nicole gets in and there's some other people already seated. And I sit down and I kind of catch a glimpse of the guy across the aisle from me. New Guinea lad. He was really muscly. He looked like a football player. Kind of looked at him and I looked back at my seat. And then all of a sudden, it was like God started to speak to my heart for this guy. And I'm just like, I'm not looking. Lord, I'm not looking. I'm tired. We haven't even taken off. We've got an hour and a half of flying time here. I'm not looking. And so for the first half of the flight, I've just fought with the Lord. And I kept telling him, I said, you're really interrupting me here, Lord. I just want to be selfish for a little while, you know. But anyways, just sort of before landing, I kind of went, oh, okay. And I just yielded to the Lord. And I looked over at this guy. And for whatever reason, I hadn't noticed this before, but then I looked down at his leg and he had this massive metal frame all around his leg and his ankle. And I thought, oh, here we go. I've got such a beautiful attitude, don't I? Anyway, I'm just like, oh, Lord. Anyway, so the plane lands. I take my sunglasses off. I take my headphones off. And as we're taxiing towards the aero bridge, I just turn to him and I say, hey, mate, I said, that looks like it hurts. And he said, oh, let me tell you about it. So he did. Told me all about it. He'd been in a workplace accident, a big slasher machine where they clear, you know, big grasslands and things. Another person was using it. It was an error in their handling of the equipment, and literally chopped his foot off, basically. And he said, I've just spent the last 8 weeks in hospital having it all refixed and together and everything. And anyway, I'm like, by this stage, I'm like, the heart of God is starting to fill me more and more. And I'm like, oh. I said to him, look, mate, I just want you to know, I believe in Jesus. I think Jesus likes to take away pain. I think he likes to heal people. And I think he loves you and he'd like to do that for you. Would you like me to pray for you? And he said, I would love it. You know, desperate people will welcome the invitation for some love and healing. So anyway, I said, I'm just going to put my hand on your shoulder. Is that all right? And he goes, yeah, mate, no troubles. And he does, like the aisle in a Dash 8 aeroplane is a fairly narrow aisle. So you can literally lean over and you can be touching each other. Well, he, as I kind of just gently leaned over, he grabbed me and he pulled me like right up so my face is up against his face. And he said, and so I start to pray, and I'm praying for him, and I'm looking, kind of trying to look at his mum, and his mum is in tears next to him. She's just in absolute tears. And anyway, the Spirit of the Lord falls on the guy. I start ministering to him and asking Jesus to begin to minister to his pain and his leg and his life. And then anyway, at the end of all of that, I said, how are you feeling? And he goes, oh, this is just incredible. I feel a great sense of relief. And I said, look, I don't know how you test this because you've got this big leg thing going on here. But I said, are you feeling anything? And he described feeling heat, but not just in his leg, like through his entire being. And I just said, you know what? I think that's God. I think he's trying to let you know he loves you and he wants a relationship with you and he has a hope for you and he wants to bring you into something that you've never dreamed possible in terms of his love for, you know, for you, for a life to live. I said, would you like Jesus to come into your life? He goes, yes, please. So we just closed eyes again and prayed, introduced him to Jesus. His name's Shannon. If you think to pray for Shannon, please pray for Shannon. I've got no idea where Shannon is. I have no idea where he lives. But in that moment, on the Dash 8, on the tarmac coming into the Brisbane airport, Shannon crossed the threshold. And he came into the kingdom of God and into a relationship with Jesus. And off he went with Jesus. but he crossed a threshold. These moments are happening around us all the time. And sometimes you have to work really hard to deny they're happening. The Father is always at work. The Father is always at work. Everywhere. And guess where you live? You live everywhere. Your life is everywhere. And the last thing I want to touch on is the compelling reality of Jesus. I mentioned earlier about all of these young people that came to Christ. We just shared a few little stories about the love of Jesus, and it was so compelling for these young people. They went, I want in. I want Jesus. I want the kingdom of God that Jesus speaks of. And these two women before I mentioned, you know, they're watching these people get baptized, and in the midst of that, they're like, I want into this. There's something so compelling about Jesus. Paul does a beautiful job of writing this amazing piece of revelation about who Jesus actually is. And he is so compelling. God, I don't want to make this statement to you. God wants to make every moment of your life and my life glorious with his presence. God wants to make every moment of your life and my life glorious with his presence. Just listen to that again, to that scripture. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all of creation. For in him everything holds together, heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authority. It's all been created through him and for him. He's before everything, and in him everything holds together. He's the head of the church, he's the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he'd have the supremacy. And God was pleased to have his fullness dwelling in him, reconciling everything on heaven and earth to him by making peace through his shed blood on the cross. This is a compelling reality. This is not an idea. This is not a philosophy. This is a person who is so compelling that we would give our lives to him, and then in exchange, he would give us the fullness of his life. I love Jesus. Jesus is very much a compelling person. Just in this next little while, I believe that as God ministers to you, as a local church, he wants to bring you into a fresh, compelling experience of his son Jesus in your everyday real life. He's put you where he needs you. He's put you here where he needs you. He has a compelling reality and ministry and life experience for you to walk with him right here, right now, not somewhere else. He's got someone else somewhere else. He's got you here and now. Because he, like, you know, Alan Scott said earlier, that everywhere, everyone, every day would be filling their whole everywhere with the beauty of Christ and the compelling reality of Jesus. This is the fruitfulness of the season that we're in. So I'm going to pray for you this morning, and we're going to minister, and we're going to ask the Lord just to minister to you guys and bring you into what he's actually been saying for like 2.5 years now to us as a people around the country, and graciously giving us a heads up that he wants us to lean into. And these are the things that are going to, you'll see, it'll be taking place all around you and through you. Increased intimacy with the Father. Continual hunger to be filled with the person of the Spirit. Finding yourself on these threshold moments everywhere and every day. You don't have to be somewhere else with someone else. You just need to be with God right where you are. And the eyes to see what the Father's doing. And that Jesus would just be so compelling both to you and through you to the people that you love and walk among every day. That they too, like Shannon on the aeroplane, I want Jesus. Like those two women watching other people give their lives to Christ, I want in. I want that life too. Why don't we stand and pray? Let's stand and pray together. Father, I thank you for your just generosity of your